now to our second scripture reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. The reading comes from chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour, it's now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke the loaves. And he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Is there still a place for miracles in this world? Do we have enough optimism left to believe impossible problems can be solved? If you read our holy scriptures from front to back, you will notice a pattern of miracle, crisis, miracle, crisis, miracle, crisis, covering 4,000 years. The witness is undeniable that there is more going on than merely human ingenuity solving human crises. Time and again, Almighty God lends a hand. Sometimes as an act of God alone, often hand in hand with fellow servants. But you know, in modern times, miracles are controversial, even among Christians. Sometimes we become uncomfortable claiming belief in miracles. We can believe in God, but we draw the line at God, crossing the line, that line of science and logic. Often we compromise our belief, saying, "Well, maybe there was an age way back when in which God performed miracles, but that age is a closed chapter of the past, relegated to our Bible stories. Those stories that perhaps in more naive years used to prove the power of God to us, so often now they raise a little bit of doubt. Is there still a place for miracles in this world? Maybe we should first ask what miracles are all about. They are certainly not random acts. Neither are they ever frivolous. Even Jesus creating ridiculous amounts of wine for already drunk wedding guests was not frivolous. As much fun as it is to joke about that particular incident, it had nothing to do with the partying and the drunk folks and everything to do with what the water and wine would come to represent. The abundant grace of God gifted to us in the waters of baptism and the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we look for a pattern in God's miracles, it's not too hard to make out. They are very purposeful. God's miracles are always acts to sustain life. God's miracles always have to do in some way with enabling life to continue and to thrive. And so we've got miracles of food, a lot of them actually in Scripture, food. We've got miracles of protection, of healing, of saving life, even of resurrecting life. In the gospel reading today, Jesus performs a food miracle. His best known miracle, some version you see of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, appears 6 times in the 4 Gospels. It is the only miracle to appear in every gospel. There is something to this particular act of God that spoke so universally and deeply to people that it became an absolutely essential part of Jesus' story that nobody could leave out. And it all boils down to this. Hungry people were fed. Bodies were nourished. And that speaks volumes to the multitudes everywhere and in every time who live hand to mouth, who worry about where the next meal comes from. Scripture flat out tells us that God's will is that hungry people be fed. And that's not some spiritual metaphor. We can go there later, but to start with, it is a matter of nourishing the body. God's will that hungry people be fed. Scripture flat out tells us that we share our bread with the hungry, that we will be judged in part by whether or not we have done so, that heaven is a banquet table large enough where finally no one has to worry about if they will eat, for there will be a feast for all. And for us to understand the miracle that Jesus performed, feeding a 5,000 plus crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fish, we have to understand the history of famine, of food scarcity, of hunger of God's people, history which is not only ancient history, but the present and the future as well. It was 7 years of famine that drove the Hebrew people away from Canaan land as refugees to Egypt, where there was food, but where they became enslaved. It was food scarcity that nearly drove them back to their slavery in Egypt after they were saved, because without food, freedom meant nothing either. It was longing for food which fueled the 40-year journey through the wilderness of the people of God. God kept putting before them a promise of a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where food would be abundant. Bring on several more rounds in history of famine, of drought, of war, of invasion, of a failed state, of oppression, of every possible circumstance which makes food hard to grow or obtain, and we reach the time of Jesus climbing out of his boat because the crowd of people needed him. And as the sun went down that day, the disciples, they pleaded for Jesus to just disperse the crowd so that they might go into the villages and buy food for themselves. As if a small village could accommodate food for a crowd of 15,000 people, right? I'm assuming if we have 5,000 men, there's probably 5,000 women and at least 5,000 children. So let us not underestimate the size of this crowd. Jesus said to the disciples, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat, right? Because you do not under any circumstances hold a church gathering without refreshments. Am I right? The disciples replied, you want us to do what? There's 15,000 people out there. You're crazy. That's outrageous. You're the Son of God. Why don't you do it? Well, they actually replied, we have nothing here but the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Here we have 5 loaves and 2 sort of fish. And Jesus said, Bring them here to me. And in this moment, Jesus prays that the divine work would be done. He looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples. And the disciples then gave them to the crowd. Somewhere in that prayer, the same ritual prayer that Jesus offered again at the Last Supper and that we will offer at the Lord's table, the disciples went from having just 5 loaves and 2 fish to being able to distribute food to the multitude. No, we don't get to know how the miracle happened. When the disciples tore off a chunk of bread, did it regrow? Did they close their eyes in prayer and like magic, when they opened them, there were thousands of loaves of bread? Was it a stone soup scenario, if you're familiar with that story, where the disciples offered what little they had and everyone was moved to pool their resources and in the great act of sharing, everyone was fed? We don't get to know how the miracle happened. All we know is that it appealed to the core need of every person. All we know is that every day so many people pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," not with a week's worth of food in the pantry at hand, but asking God to provide for just one more day. All we know is that parents skip meals to feed their children. All we know is that the world has never once been without starving people. All we know is the face of the person shaking the change cup on the street corner. All we know is the photos of emaciated bodies in sub-Saharan Africa when those advertisements come on TV to please help. All we know is the deep gnawing pain of millions of empty bellies over thousands of years. We don't need to know how Jesus fed so many with so little on that day. All we need to know is that there is food somewhere and there is need everywhere, and connecting the two is God's work. The miracle is that hungry people were fed. The miracle is that the disciples started distributing bread in faith, not knowing how on earth they were going to feed all of those people. The miracle is they did it anyway. Today we find ourselves before a hungry crowd. We remember that the world has famine right now in Yemen, major humanitarian disaster. There is famine in South Sudan and Somalia and Nigeria. Here in our own country, we have elderly adults choosing between food and medicine. The largest number of food insecure people in our population is children. In many areas, to send them back to school or not is about food, not education. It's about those school lunches. We now have the longest lines at food banks than we've seen in a generation. And to his disciples, Jesus says, "Don't send them away. You give them something to eat." But it is not our work alone. What Jesus is leading us to do is to partner with God in doing God's work. I said at the beginning, sometimes God works miracles single-handedly, but very often God works miracles hand in hand with us. The latter is the greater miracle. When we have such faith as to partner with God in feeding God's people, it's a miracle. So when the next opportunity rolls around for you to help feed the hungry, will you have the faith to believe that God is working a miracle through your small contribution? Will you believe that God is working something far greater than just your share? Will you hear Jesus' voice asking you to give them something to eat? Will you say, "Here's my loaf, And here's my fish. Will you? Friends, this is God's word for us today. And we offer these words to God in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.